Today, we're joined by Scott Winfrey, chief of the Coolville Police Department. Leading a police department requires balancing public safety, community relationships, and the ever-challenging challenges facing law enforcement. As chief, Winfrey works alongside officers and community members to help keep Coolville safe while fostering trust, transparency, and collaboration. Today, we'll talk about his journey into law enforcement, increased traffic enforcement, their activity over the last year, community involvement with the Citizens Academy, a Tennessee Tech class they teach during the fall semester, the challenges and rewards of the job, and his vision for the future of public safety in Coolville. Welcome, Chief. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ben. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on. I've known you for years, probably since I was a little boy, not saying you're old. You're a fellow Baxter boy, which I'm very proud to say we are. We love our community, but and that's where I want to start is you grew up in Baxter, correct?
I did. Yeah, I've lived there in my entire life on a family farm, and my grandmother used to own a little five and dime there in Baxter, and I used to go over there as a kid, and it's funny. I think about that. I used to this is in the early 70s. She'd give me like a dollar and a half, and I'd go down to the Cumberland Cafe, get a hamburger, fries, and a Coke, and bring her back a little change.
Dollar and a half, got all that and some change. Ain't that crazy? Of course, as you said, long time. You graduated from Upperman High School.
I did.
And from Upperman High School, where did you go from there?
So when I graduated, I went to Tennessee Tech. I started down in engineering. My grandfather, who had a business and stuff in Baxter, but during the Depression, he went to Michigan, and he became a police officer in Detroit. And he had always told my dad that he wished he'd had an attorney in the family. So I changed my major, and I went along. And, of course, Tech was on quarters back then. I got an internship with a local attorney, did really well. And after the internship, he actually hired me. And this was toward my very last semester or quarter at Tech. And I decided I didn't want to be an attorney. So kind of went along, worked for my brother for a little while, who's an engineer. And the job at Coolville came open. I applied and got hired in 1989.
Nice. So you've been in law enforcement since then?
Yes.
And a career in law enforcement's not easy, and we're not, we'll talk about some challenges. We're going to talk about real happy stuff today because that's what we do here, but we'll talk about some challenges, but it's rewarding, and you've been with the city of Coolville your whole career.
Well, I actually left for a couple of years.
Okay.
And went to work, but then I came back. I just missed it.
Sure.
I missed it, and I'd been in law enforcement for about 6.5-7 years at that time and had an opportunity to come up, but it gets in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your blood.
Yeah, and so I'm thankful that, of course, you're a Baxter boy, but I'm glad you're at City of Coolville. They might have been a small rivalry between the cities years ago, but I think we're all come together as a family and all as a county, and everybody supports everybody. And I love the fact that they put you police chief because you're well-deserving, and we get to talk about how our police chief of Coolville is from Baxter, and I love that because you worked your way up, and you spent your career in Coolville.
Yes, I have, and like I said, I'm proud to be from Baxter.
Sure.
I've got a lot of family roots there. Been there, family's been there a long time. But, you were talking about, like once a month, myself and the other three chiefs, all good Baxter Monterey, we'll get together and have lunch and just discuss stuff.
Yeah.
And we started doing that about a year and a half ago.
That's good. That's good. So speaking of chief, when did you become police chief for Coolville?
January 30th, last year, year and a half.
Yep. About. And so started in 89, police chief since 2025 of January. How's it going so far? What's the difference between you were assistant chief before, right?
I was a major. So our command structure is chief and two majors.
And so what's the difference between being a major and now the chief?
Used to, people would come to me with an idea or a thought, and I said, I'll go ask the chief.
Yeah.
Now it stops with me.
That's a big difference.
Yes, it is.
And you're the man in charge now. The buck stops with you. Of course, you have a city council and a city manager you work with, and Coolville's great. The structure, infrastructure, and the structure of the city of Coolville is wonderful.
I can't say enough about the cooperation, the work that all the directors, the city manager, James Mills, is great to work for, and the councils. So I'll touch on this for just a minute.
Sure.
Several years ago, actually, shortly after Randy Evans became chief, He came to me. I was a lieutenant at the time. And he said, hey, do you want to be project manager on, we're looking at building a new building. Now, you know, this is like 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. And I said, sure, you know, I'll do that. Be love to do it. And we started that. And every council that we've gone through, actually three separate city managers, I can't say enough about their enthusiasm, their cooperation. Never got a no vote on anything. And something I'm very proud of, we actually came in under budget on that building.
So it's a phenomenal building. I've only been able to go in it once. I don't think I've got to see the whole thing, which I'm not one of those that show up. So I demand to see the layout. I know you would take me, but I'm just happy y'all have it, right? What kind of difference has that made for the police force in Coolville to have that kind of a facility?
Well, it's night and day. So if you were ever came into the old building, mm-hmm. okay, it was approximately 10,000 square feet, and that was rough because I just went around it with a tape measure, essentially, and estimated the square footage. But we were in the basement of the drama center, okay? We only had two windows in the entire for the area. And whenever CPAC was having a show, we could sit there and tell you all the, you know, sing the words to all the little songs and hear kids tapping on the roof, you know, on our ceiling. And so that's made a big difference. And also, I'll go touching on like recruitment. Okay. So when we had people, and I've talked to several officers who came there, and they said, you know, I was a little concerned when I saw where y'all were located. But our new buildings actually helped that. And we designed our new building with a lot of windows. And one thing a lot of officers said, and they continue to say, is, you know, that sunlight makes a difference.
Sure does. Absolutely does. And the visibility now compared to the old one, you had no visibility at the old place.
No, it, you know, people would get lost looking for it.
Sure. You know? The only reason they would know it was there if they saw a couple of police or squad cars in the back, you know. Yeah. If they were new to town and didn't know. Yeah, and that was one thing I used to work over there, and I would say, well, we're right across from the police station. Somebody would try to come. We don't see a police station. I'm, oh, yeah, well, it's hard to see. Yeah, it's hard to know it's there.
Yeah.
But I also would say, yeah, nobody's going to steal my car in the parking lot if I leave it because we're right across from the police station. Yeah. So that was good. But, no, the visibility now, it's a beautiful building. People that come to town know that we take pride in our law enforcement. They see that building. We take pride in you all and hopefully give you all. And I think that if you were project manager, I didn't know that. So thanks for letting me know that. You did a great job leading that project because it's a wonderful facility. I'm sure after it's like building a house, after you finish it, there's something you wish you'd have done different.
Well, the team effort between Chief Evans and myself, as well as, you know, a lot of the other officers with input. So one thing we did when we first started on this project, the IACP, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, conduct a class on building police facilities. So we went to Dallas and attended that and talked to. So there are certain architectural firms throughout the country that specialize in police Sure. facilities. So we toured several facilities there. We went to Detroit to speak with another architect and then all the way down to Orlando and places all in between. And we took ideas and we asked these chiefs, you know, what works, what doesn't work. And we combined that. And I do. I think we have what I'm very proud of is the functionality of our building. I think it's a beautiful building aesthetically, but I really do think it's very functional.
Yeah, I think y'all did a good job. So how many employees do you have currently on the staff?
So right now we have 77 sworn positions, okay, including myself. And then we have about 24, 25 civilian positions, some part-time, a couple of part-time positions. And that includes our dispatchers, our administrative staff, maintenance personnel. So it's about 101 people.
But you're able to operate everything now of that one building. Dispatch and everything's out of that one building.
Yes.
You're able to do it. And before, I think, was you spread thin?
Well, like in our old building? Uh-huh. I'd say we were extremely cramped.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to look at it. So are y'all currently, you have 77 sworn officers or sworn positions, y'all currently fully staffed, or are you still trying to hire some folks?
Well, so we are currently, we're at 70, six as far as people hired. I actually, we're going to contact a young man who is an officer out of California who has accepted a conditional offer of employment. And we're going to contact him probably today. And so once, if he agrees and get him in, it'll be, we'll be at full staff. That being said, so when we say we're fully staffed, right now we have officers in training. The three that will be coming on, that they are sworn officers, but they'll be in training. So at any one time, we may have, you know, six or seven people in training. And training for a police department takes a long time to become a police officer. You know, the hiring process takes a while. Then if they've never been an officer anywhere, they go through 12 weeks of our FTO program. They go 12 weeks of the academy. So
yeah, 12 in the academy used to be, was it 8 weeks?
It was 8 weeks, and it was 10 weeks, and that's 12 weeks.
Now it's 12 weeks. Yes. And that's 12 weeks as soon as they start, that they're there. You don't have any, they can't help you other than their training, but they're not on the force, they're training, then they can come back and be on the staff and help. But that's 12 weeks, they're gone.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then when they're going through the field training work, you know, you have a trained field training officer, three of them that will work with this any single officer. So you have two you know, you have a veteran officer who's a trainer, and then that new officer. So they're on the road together for 12 weeks.
Yeah, and that's – so that, I think that's important, right, to their career and starting out the
Absolutely.
Right way.
Absolutely. Training's so important.
Yeah, and you can never stop training and never stop getting better, but the onset of training for law enforcement has been improved greatly over the years. And I'm not in law enforcement, but I've worked with county sheriff's offices for 20-something years now, and just to see their process is wonderful. Have Chief Scott Winfrey from the City of Couville Police Department with us here. I'll be back in just a moment after this break. Man, welcome back. Scott Winfrey, Chief of Police for the City of Couville, was with me today. Scott, again, thanks for being here. Known you a long time, getting and looking forward to learning more about you. Love your path into law enforcement, kind of following your granddaddy in Detroit when he was there. I love that story. I didn't know that. That's one of the reasons I love doing this show, is I learn more about people I've already known for a long time. So we talked about your staff and you know, you're fully staffed pretty much. You're where you want to be. I know you could probably always use more as you go on, but the reason you can be staffed is the budget. You know, just like any other department in the county and city, you have a budget. Y'all just – the city just approved their budget. What did that approved budget mean for the City of Couville's Police Department?
Well, for us, of course, and this goes across the board, you know, and the budget's out there. It can be viewed. So essentially, it was a $2,000 pay adjustment for all the pay grades. And then, of course, there's up to a 2% merit increase at, you know, when a supervisor does an employee's evaluation. And so that you know, that helps. Absolutely.
So, and you may not know this. I don't know how the council sets it up. When they do that 2% merit, is that if everybody, you want to give everybody a 2% merit, they funded enough to give everybody on your staff a 2% merit raise? Or do they say, well, this is the amount of money we give you, 2% is what you can use for merit raises? How does that work?
Well, it can be up to 2%.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way.
So I think in government, the reason I ask that question, if the county doesn't do things that way, and sometimes I wish that we did merit raises, because it might recruit more people, right? Mm-hmm. We might be able to retain and recruit more people, and we never have less turnover. But they don't do the merit; they just do a fixed dollar amount. I think the merit's a good way to earn your, you know, earn your money, right?
I believe so, and I'll say this: I really want to brag on officers. I mean, the city of Couville, the citizens of Couville, they have such a good police force, and this has nothing to do with me. Historically, we have went out and really vetted people when we've gone to hire them, and training. We have continuous training. So it's not just the initial training they get, but we really put an emphasis on training throughout an officer's career.
Yeah, it shows. I mean, y'all are present. Y'all do a good job with everything. And so speaking part of what y'all are doing, has the traffic enforcement, have y'all increased that activity over the last year?
Yes, we have. So one of the things we've really pushed is our traffic enforcement. And I'm not talking about citations or anything like that, but I've wanted our officers to go out and make more citizen contacts. Now, that's not necessarily just traffic stops. That could be, you know, driving down the road and you see somebody and you realize they have a warrant on them, you get out. So it's self-initiated activity. So a statistic that a lot of people don't realize. So our officer-initiated activity combined with calls for service from the public, we responded to nearly 50,000 incidences last year to combine those two, you know. So you can see how busy our officers are. And our self-initiated activity, to include traffic stops or just getting out and speaking to somebody, we had nearly 29,000 of those.
Wow.
And our calls for service, so one thing I looked at, and the department has looked at over several years, if we can increase our proactivity as self-initiated activity by our officers, would our calls for service from the public drop? And they did. So our self-initiated activity for the officers increased dramatically, and our calls for service from the public actually dropped 5%. And one thing put out by NHTSA is that if an officer makes a traffic stop on a fairly busy road, it will influence about 7 other drivers as they see those blue lights. It'll change their behavior. And that's all we're looking for. We're trying to, you know, decrease crashes, because the number of crashes, you know, to include parking lot crashes, but we're just wanting to make it safer. Yeah. That's all this is about, is to make it safer.
Have you found, and this might be a question you can't answer, it might be impossible, have you found that people are driving more safe as time goes on, or is it getting worse? I mean, here's why I ask. I'm hearing that some 16-year-olds don't want their license at 16. They want to wait.
I want to say this. So this is something, of course, you know, I got 3 sons. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're all grown men. I've got grandkids.
Love them all. They're great. Yeah.
You know? But when they, my oldest son, you know, when he got 16, yeah, he went and got his license, but he was a little apprehensive about it.
Sure.
And my youngest one, Ben, he was kind of that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it, because when I was 16 years old, I was chomping at the bits. You know, I was ready to get my license.
I guess we're old, Scott.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I hear from other people that it seems like there's, I don't know, maybe less radical drive. I don't know. I when I go to Nashville, it's not that way. People are nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm in Nashville a lot. And I'm telling you, it's, I used to be a little more aggressive and stay with the traffic. And now I just kind of veer off and just say, I'm staying out of y'all's way. Y'all keep on going.
Well, and as you know, and as everybody lives in Cobble, all the, you know, the construction, the road construction, and I want to say this, the state highways, Jefferson and Willow, that's TDOT. You know, I like to back up Mary Beth Elrod, our public works director.
Sure.
To let her know and let people know that's not the city of Cookeville.
Yeah.
Now, those projects are well needed, you know, and but at the same time, that I know has aggravated a lot of people. I mean, I get that way driving up and down certain parts of the road.
Sure.
And there's going to be more construction. But that growth, those improvements, you got to go through a little growing pains.
Yeah, so social media, I don't want to get down that road, but, you know, I'll see something where somebody's complaining about a city road, a state highway, like Willow and Jefferson, and one of our county commissioners goes, well, they'll be complaining to the county.
Yep.
So they'll go on a county commissioner's page and say, you need to fix Washington, or you need to fix Jefferson, or you need to fix Willow. Jefferson mainly was the big thing now. And a county commissioner say, well, that's the city. No, the response is, that's the state.
That's the state. And I want to say this, too. The state has been they've worked real well with the city. I want to say that. It just takes time. Mm-hmm. These projects take, you know, they're years in planning, and then they take years to complete, because it takes a lot to improve a road.
Yeah, and probably 10 years ago when they, and I don't know the exact time frame they started looking at Jefferson, but it seemed like it had been about 10 years. 10 years ago, we had nowhere near the amount of people we have now.
That's correct.
And I know they planned for growth, but I guarantee you they didn't plan for 20% population growth in that time frame.
Yes, and you think of, so it's not just city of Cookeville, it's the entire county, it's other counties, and then people come to Cookeville.
Sure.
So like I said, you know, when the city of Cookeville was doing the improvement on 10th Street, you know, that was a city project, and that took a long time.
Friday at lunch and beyond, it's hard to move around Cookeville.
It is.
And it's nobody's fault other than there's just people that are here visiting, or they're living here, or they're getting it. And I don't know why it is a Friday. I mean, most people are still working Friday. But, man, everybody comes to Cookeville Friday, and it's hard to move around. It takes sometimes it takes to get from the west side over to here. It's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
And it does. And that's one thing, one of the reasons we've really increased our traffic enforcement just try to keep people safe.
Sure.
You know.
Well, that's important. And how many shifts do y'all do, Scott, per day? Is it three or two?
So we worked our patrol officers. The officers you see out, you know, working patrol, they're on 12-hour shifts.
Okay.
They work 6A, 6B, 6B, 6A. And then we also have a traffic division. And they come in and they work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and traditionally, because statistically that's when most of the crashes occur. So we want to have extra people out there working traffic enforcement.
Yeah, so the traffic division is mainly there for the response to accidents, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love that thought process because it lets your patrol people also do patrolling and respond to other calls. And I don't know how long y'all been doing that, but that's a great idea.
It's been going on since the mid 2004, 2005, something
like
that.
That's great. I have Scott Winfrey. He's the chief of police for the City of Couville Police Department. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back. Scott Winfrey, Chief of Police for the City of Couville Police Department, with us. Scott, you was talking about outreach and being more involved with the public and having more contacts with them and self-initiated engagement with the public. Another thing you all are doing is you have a Citizens Police Academy. Tell me about what that police academy is.
So the Citizens Police Academy, we've been doing that, I believe, since 95, 96. And we do it once a year. We usually have that in the springtime on a Monday. We used to do it in the fall, but it got in the way of Monday night football, according to people. Yeah. So we changed it to early spring. Usually starts in March, and it's a 10-week program. And people come in and they'll see all the different divisions of the department. We have a lot of different employees and come in and speak. It's a 3-hour class, and they also do ride-alongs with our officers and get to see a great deal of what we do, you know, just and see how we deal with people and the training we have and a lot of the tools we have.
I think that it's good for so many reasons. People get to come in and experience what y'all are doing. Unfortunately, there's been some bad polarizing thoughts about law enforcement in the last few years. And me being around it for a while now, I know that most every officer's out to do a good job, to do a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah, that Citizens Academy helps show not only that, but what you all have to deal with every day.
Every day, yes.
And then they go back and tell their friends and family.
That's right.
You know, I think that's a really good outreach program.
Yes, it is. And I want to say something, you kind of alluded to it. It's great being a police officer in Cookeville, in Putnam County, in the Upper Cumberland, I'll say the state of Tennessee. The amount of public support we get, I wouldn't want to be an officer anywhere else.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. How does a person sign up for the police academy or apply and participate in that?
So we'll put out applications, you know, like I said, it's about February. And a lot of the times, you know, they may actually be recommended by a previous Citizen Academy attendee or an employee, you know, another officer or an employee of the police department of the city, you know. And we always have, it gets booked quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very popular. I've heard a lot of people go through it and they loved it. It was a good experience for them. You also, part of your outreach is you do a class at Tennessee Tech every semester. So what does that entail?
So I want to give you a little history on that.
Sure.
So in the spring of 2021, so you remember what happened. You had COVID. You had, what occurred up in Minnesota. And there was some concern. So Chief Evans was attending a function at Tennessee Tech. And there was some, you know, he was told at that time, said, you know, some of our minority students at Tennessee Tech, when they get brought to Cookeville to go to school and their parents look around and they're scared, you know, because the demographics aren't necessarily where they came from. So that really bothered him. So he was approached by Jamal Thompson, who played football and basketball for Tennessee Tech, and they got a class started, and it was really pushed by JT. And Dr. Baker, she sponsored the course, and we started teaching that. And we've had, you know, just it's been really great. The students come in, they seem to really enjoy the course. We've actually hired four officers out of that class, and that wasn't part of it. We just wanted to show students who were interested, you know, what the Cookeville Police Department was all about and what law enforcement is in general.
Have you seen students come through that class, join the police force, or go into law enforcement?
Yeah,
somewhere
we've had four join us. We've had four, and I do know that other officers or other, you know, some of the students have gone on to be law enforcement of some form in other places where they came from.
Yeah. Have you seen you started in 1989. Have you seen the interest of wanting to be in law enforcement, to be a police officer, increase since then, decrease? Has it fluctuated in that time period?
It has ebbed and flowed.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that depends on, you know, what's going on in the country right now. I believe it's on the rise.
Sure.
It seems to be. And, you know, every generation's different, but people that get into law enforcement have a servant's heart, and they want to help people.
Yeah.
And that is universal.
Yeah, that's Kylie, you couldn't say it better than what you just said. It's servant's heart, and that's willing to sacrifice everything for us.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, yes. And it's I'm grateful for all the law enforcement we have in the county and the upper county and the state. It's like you said, I think things in Tennessee are really good when it comes to that. There's careers there that you can retire from and be rewarding for yourself and your family, but also to others. And I think having that, because the Citizens Academy is important, and then that class at Tech obviously has been a good tool for you all.
Absolutely.
Do you teach any part of that?
Or? Yeah. Throughout my career, I've taught different aspects of it. Now, mainly, I just get up and give the introduction at the beginning and let my officers, you know, all the officers and do their thing. You know, I tell people all the time, they'll say, what's it like being chief of police? I said, look, I'm a patrol officer sitting in a seat.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about myself.
Yeah.
And these young men and women who are out here working, they see it every day the way I used to, you know, and they can get in there and teach those classes real well.
Well, I will say this. I try not to speed, but sometimes coming through Baxter, I now know your vehicle. But used to, I didn't know it. I'm like, I got to slow down. There's an unmarked car. And it's you turning your driveway. I'm like, oh.
It's just Scott.
Yeah, it's just Scott. But no, I try not to speed. So, again, Scott, you're doing a wonderful job. Your department's doing a wonderful job. But with any career, with any public service role, especially, there's challenges. What's some of the challenges you're trying to work through, you're seeing right now as the police chief?
Well, there's always those things. We talked about budget earlier. Mm-hmm. Of course, we just end the budget. And again, great cooperation, you know, with the city manager, with Mr. Mills and the council. But that's something we actually start working on. I start looking at the budget now.
Yeah.
You know, fiscal year's about to start. I start looking for next year.
Sure.
I want to, the city, you know, the police department, I would like to increase the number of officers we have, make sure we have plenty of people working, you know, patrolling the streets, and equipment. Equipment's always something, because it's funny. You used to buy a piece of equipment, and it was yours. In today's world, you basically buy the piece of equipment, which doesn't cost much, but you have to pay, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 annually to support the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And things are very expensive,
yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I always have to budget. But as far as, you know, the hiring, our people out there, I can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah. Yeah, you have great folks. So what's your vision going forward?
Well, what I would like to see for the police department itself, like I said, I want to see it grow because our community's growing. You know, we just annexed another piece of property north of town. So as the population of Cookeville itself grows, and we're getting, you know, large box stores, and we're going to get more people coming in. So I want to grow the police department because it's going to have to happen. And, you know, really that's the main thing I'm looking at. We are going to have to replace some equipment, you know, going forward. But the biggest thing is always the people you hire. That's it. Man, it really is.
Yeah, I have, of course, not in law enforcement, but I've been on interview committees and hiring committees, and you can go through the interview process, and somebody, this is a really good hire, really good. They seem like they got it together. The resume looks good. They got a good personality. You hire them, and it may not be a good fit. You can't predict that, right?
That's true.
And it happens, and it's nobody's fault, except it's just getting to know somebody. I know that's a challenge.
It is.
Making sure you hire the right people, because you don't always get to hire the best person that you might think. But if you have the plan and process, you go through the process, you've done the best you can, and then you try to train them up. So we go back to training, and like you mentioned, 12 weeks at the academy and then 12 weeks with a field officer. That's 24 weeks. And then it's always every day on the job training too.
Absolutely. You're learning something new every day. Every call is different and you learn something every day.
Yeah. Well, again, Scott, I appreciate what you do. And the work all of your staff does. I mean, from the dispatch to patrol, the traffic division, the investigators. Yeah. And as a commissioner myself, and then you as a police chief, people in the community say, how do you maintain the growth? Well, we do the best we can with what we have, but we never want to sacrifice our safety
Correct.
And our health because of money. So if we need to spend money, if we need to do things to generate revenue, to provide more public safety, provide more options and access to things, then that's something the council and the commission have to do. And you let them know if that's the case.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing you got to look at. We talk about having officers on the road, but you have people that are out sick. You have people that are on vacation. They're in schools. So you have to have enough people to make sure when those things are occurring, you're really not losing a lot of the service, the service that we're doing. So
yeah, and you've mentioned a little bit earlier, but there is a joint coordinated effort, collaboration with other law enforcement agencies in the county, with other cities in the county, and, of course, the state.
Yes.
And y'all do work well with that. And from what I've heard for many years now, that's always been a good relationship.
It has.
And
yes.
That provides more safety for our county and the community as a whole.
Sure. So, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Scott, again, I appreciate you being here. Your wife's wonderful. We hadn't really mentioned her, but say hi to Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yep,
yes,
your boys are great. I know all of them. Good. I won't say good kids because they're adults now, but good kids. I'm older than they are. Good people. Good family. Of course, I knew your dad a little bit. And your mom, of course, was at school.
Mom was a cook at Baxter Elementary School for over 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
And
Ms.
the number
Ty.
Of people that come up to me and say, she always gave me extra food.
She did. Miss Ty was wonderful. If I wanted extra milk or something, she was wonderful. So, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it, Ben.
Folks, I appreciate having the Chief of Police for City of Couville, Scott Winfrione. Great person, great service to our community as his staff. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Thank your law enforcement when you see them. Thank people like Chief Winfrey. They're doing a wonderful job. They're doing all the work they can to make this place safer. We'll see you next time. Thanks.